I'm very thankful to be here today. I've been going through a lesson series. You know, Brother Paul says when you have the youth, it's almost like you have your own congregation, and he's right. It's good training for somebody that may be called to the ministry. It's good training. We've been going through 1 Peter this summer, and we're going to talk a little bit about Christian suffering today, and it's kind of timely in light of what Brother Paul really preached on today, which is an amazing sermon. It's like drinking from a fire hydrant. We have such good pastors, correct? Right? I'm very thankful for them. But we have an even greater Savior. And that's who they're following. And we should do likewise. We're so blessed that we don't have just one, but we have two wonderful men of God that are leading us. But before we start, do you have a prayer request today? You have anything? Raise your hand if you do. Raise your hand if you have a prayer request. Don't be shy. I have prayer requests. Yes. Look around the room. People that are raising their hand. Do you know them? Are they friends with you? Pray for them. Pray for them. We're going to talk about that today. That's going to be part of what we talk about in 1 Peter. Let's open up with a word of prayer. And be mindful of the people that raise their hands. Don't deny somebody the blessing of them praying for you. If you have a prayer request, if you have something weighing on you and burdening you, we should go to one another and say, pray for me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just lift up your name. I praise your name. I thank you for the message that you gave today through Brother Paul. Lord, I do await your second coming. I know it's soon. It's imminent. It's upon us. And Lord, may we stand ready, Lord. May we be clothed in your righteousness. May we be radiating your glory through our daily lives, the way we live, and the way we honor and exalt your name. Father, I pray for the prayer requests in here today. I know there's more. I know there's more. May we be humble enough to ask for prayer, Lord, that we can bear one another's burdens together. Father, use Fairview Baptist Church to glorify your name. Use the individual people here today to glorify your name and exalt the name of Jesus. Because his name is the name above all names. And he deserves all the honor and glory and power forever. And it's in his holy name I pray. Amen. I'm going to give you a quick testimony time over my last month. Some of you know I had COVID really bad. I'm not here to scare you about COVID. Guess what? I worked my tail end off for the last couple months because my wife is pregnant. And the last time that I spoke to you, I talked about that. My wife's pregnant. So we're kind of preparing to have our third child. And leading up to that, I know I'm going to be off work a little bit. You know, I'm a fireman. Some of you know I kind of do some stuff on the side. I'm not going to talk about it because I don't want everybody beating my door down. But anyhow, I've been working really hard. And I kind of neglected to get the sleep that I should get. I wasn't taking my vitamins. My wife was even like, hey, you need to slow down. I'm like, hey, honey, we're going to have this baby in September. I really need to get after it. I want to have my plate empty. And she was like, okay, slow down. Well, then I come down with COVID. August 15th, July 15th, I'm sorry, a month from today. A month has gone by. I come down with COVID on July 15th, and I started running a fever. It was very difficult. I was telling Josh earlier, 103 fever for around 13 days. The body aches were unbelievable. And God had me on my backside. And you know what? The prayers of people here, I could feel. Alan Moore just joined our church. I know Alan through extracurricular activities, but Alan prayed for me. Debbie Blair, she prayed for me constantly, checking up on me. Miss Blair, Brother Paul, Brother Emmett, Jim Shaw, Dana Shaw, the Boyds. Countless of you reached out to me and said, I'm praying for you. And it was a difficult time, especially when you're a doer, when you're somebody that does all the time. When you're a man, we're doers, right? It's something for God to put us on our tail end and have to sit there and think, I'm in your hands. And it's not that I was fearful of my life ending or anything. It was just very difficult. It's very difficult. And then fast forward to me starting to get better, I'm dealing with some of the things that are on the backside of COVID. Had this bad rash that I was just constantly itching. And I had brain fog. I don't know if you know about COVID brain fog, COVID brain, whatever they want to call it, today or tomorrow. Couldn't focus. And for me, trying to read God's word and trying to just drink it up, you know, and my brain's not working. And I'm saying, Lord, help me, help me. It's the one thing that brought me comfort. It brought me comfort. And then, you know, I want to go into last week. My wife got COVID. That's another aside. 2 weeks of that. And then into last week. And, you know, as a fireman, I'm around men that need to hear about Christ, men that are lost. And I've taken a personal endeavor to witness constantly. Last week on Wednesday, a man that I've worked with for 3 years, specifically on my crew, he called me and he said, hey, I need to talk to you about something. And this wasn't the first time I've heard this from him. We'd been talking in the last couple months over very serious issues that he had going on in his life. But just in the last few weeks, he's moved off of my crew and out of my station. He's taken another position. And really, you know, we don't get to talk as much. But he said, hey, I want to talk to you about something. I'm on the phone with him. And I'm riding the fire truck. And I'm like, yeah, go ahead. And he's like, I want to tell you, I got baptized the other day. And I said, oh, Lord. And tears were welling up in my eyes. I've been praying for this man's salvation. And there was a difference in his voice. You know, this is a man who was so hard, and every other word was a four-letter word. And he said, he set out to say thank you, and I stopped him. I said, no, don't thank me. This is not my work. This is the work of the Holy Spirit on you. This is God's work. This is the work we should all be in. And he said, I was so prideful. And I said, yeah, I know I was too. He said, I don't feel worthy of this. And I said, it's because we're not. It's we're not worthy of this. We're not worthy of what God does to us. But he is. He is worthy. And then the following day, Thursday, another young man that, hey, he was on my crew. These were the toughest nuts in the whole fire department. I promise you, they were the toughest cookies to crack, and they were the ones I set out praying for, and I wanted their salvation. This young man, he texted me. He said, can you believe what's happened to so-and-so? And I said, yeah, I can. It's an answer to prayer. And he said, and he's been asking me, this young man that's texting me has been asking me for months, deep theological questions about Christ, about God, about Scripture. And, you know, I haven't been pressing him too hard. I can tell that God's doing his work on this man. He's doing his work, and the Holy Spirit is wooing him, pursuing him, like he does all of us, like he did all of us. And so he's asking me these questions, and I'm thinking, man, God's really after him. I can't tell you the kinds of things he's been into, the debauched life he's been living. But my prayer, you know what my prayer's been for him for 3 years now? That I would get to baptize him. And, you know, Thursday, as we're kind of going back and forth, he said, I want what he has. I want what this other man now has. What you have, I want. And he said, I want that, and will you baptize me? And I said, okay, brother, we're going to have to talk. We're going to have a conversation. Pray through this week. I'm going to talk with him. But he is at that final step in God's work of salvation. There's more to come after that. There's sanctification. But he's at that final step. I believe the Holy Spirit has him right there. And he wants to come to Christ. And I'm going to take him by the hand. And I'm going to lead him right to the cross. And we'll see what God does with him. Pray for that. Pray for that. So I've had lows of being on COVID. Having COVID. Being down on my back. And then my wife gets it. I'm worried about her. And then I go to spiritual highs. Spiritual highs, two men that I've prayed for, that I've just worn my knees out praying for. You know, they're like dominoes when they start coming to Christ. When people start coming to Christ in an atmosphere that's godless, it's like dominoes. And these were the toughest people, and I'm expecting for God's Spirit just to run through that place, run through it. And I pray I get to baptize somebody soon up there. It's been my prayer for 3 years. And so emotional highs, spiritual highs, and then Friday comes, and my wife's cousin, I'm going to try to make this as short as possible so we can get to God's word. My wife's cousin struggled with getting pregnant for years. She's going to have a baby in October. Praise God for that. So we go down Thursday night to East Texas, where my wife is from, and they're going to have a baby shower yesterday. So Friday, my wife, my mother-in-law, her sister, they're all going to set up for the baby shower. So what are me and the kids going to do? Well, we're going to swim. We're going to go out, and we're going to look for critters. And that's what I said Friday morning. So Tucker Tinley, put on your boots. We're going to go out, and we're going to look for critters. My in-laws live on some land. And for lack of descriptive terms, there's a big hillside going down to a creek and a big hillside coming up from the creek. We get on the side-by-side, and we go down, and we're crossing that creek, and I stop on the little bridge. It's just a little low-water bridge, about 3 feet off the water. And I said, Tucker, look at that bullfrog. I'm going to catch that bullfrog for you. Yeah, get it, Daddy, get him. So I hop off the side-by-side, and I jump down to try to catch that bullfrog, and of course I miss him, and he swims in the creek up underneath the bridge. And I'm like, oh, there's a cottonmouth. And Tucker comes down there with me. And he comes down there, and I said, look at that cottonmouth right there. And, of course, we're boys. So what do? We go to the other side of the bridge where the cottonmouth swam. We're going to look at him. And this is where it gets bad. My daughter kind of freaked out. I didn't put the side-by-side in park. And like I said, a big hill going down, I mean, a sheer hill coming down into this little 10-foot bridge, just barely room enough for a side-by-side to go across, and you can kind of stand on the side. And here's the side-by-side, and we're just right here on this little 1-foot gap before you fall off into the creek. I didn't put the side-by-side in park, and my daughter, she kind of just flips out because there's a cottonmouth, and she jumps to the middle of the side-by-side, and her foot goes on the gas and runs me over. It gets way worse. As she goes up the hill, I try to grab her, but it's running me over. It runs my right leg over, kind of pulls me under it. And she kind of comes off that gas, and it comes back down the hill. And my son gets run smooth over. It backs right over him, and I thought my son was dead. That's what I thought. That's what I thought. I said, my son's dead. And you know, in that split moment, there was no time to repeat my favorite memory verse. There was no time to do anything, but I don't know if it left my lips, but it left my heart. Lord, 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 I was crushed. And I hear this voice out from underneath that side by side. First of all, I don't know why it stopped where it did. Should have just barreled right off that bridge on top of me, pinning me in that water, drowning me. It didn't. It should have killed my son. And I hear underneath it, out from underneath it, I'm okay, I'm okay. I pulled my little son out from underneath it, expecting to see him just mangled and maimed. He's not looking good. He's not going to win a beauty contest right now. He's got some very bad road rash. Little boy is fine. Little boy is fine. Yeah, praise God. Praise his name. And I say all this because, you know, I've just been through so much for the last month, and I believe God brings us up and down in these valleys. He's with us in every moment, and here we are. And the last time I spoke to you, we were in Matthew chapter 15, and if you'll remember, I referenced a little bit of Matthew chapter 14, and especially that part where Peter steps out of the boat. When Jesus is walking to them on the water, he says, Lord, if that's you, call me. I'll come to you. He says, come. Peter steps out of the boat, and he sees the wind, the waves, they're boisterous. He starts to sink. He cries out, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. And you know, I touched on that last time when we met, and I got to teach you. And you know what? One thing that I missed, one thing that I failed to mention, Peter got out of the boat. He was the one that got out. His faith may have faltered, but he got out of the boat. And I encouraged you saying, hey, you and I are going to fail. We're going to falter. There's going to be things that we do that aren't the greatest. I mean, we're gonna mess up big time. Cry out to him. You know, I had a huge faux pas of huge mistake the other day. I didn't put that thing in park. It was so my fault. And in the moment when I had nothing that I could do, I was powerless to stop it driving right over my son, backing right over him. And I mean, it wasn't slow. It was boom, right over the top of him. And I thought, he's dead. The only thing that I could come to my heart was, Lord. And here he is. He's okay today. He's okay today. If you would, go to 1 Peter. Open it up. I'm just going to read to you really quick. I'm going to kind of give a synopsis. We're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 4 and some in chapter 5 if we can make it. Chapter 1 of 1 Peter, he's Christ our cornerstone. Christ our cornerstone. And I'm going to read to you in verse 18 and 19. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. That's how you and I were redeemed. Not from our works, not from anything we did or have done or will do, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Chapter 2 of 1 Peter, living stones. That's what we are, a spiritual house, a royal priesthood. Let me read to you a couple of verses. Verse 5, you also as living stones are being built up, a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Verse 9, but you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Chapter 3 of 1 Peter, Christian relationships are what's referenced, not only husbands and wives, but our relationships with one another. And that's really where we come to in chapter 4, Christian suffering, but you and I together in that process, where we are together. And I think it's funny that Brother Paul preached about the coming end of the age, the coming end of the age today, because we're going to kind of pick up there. Chapter 5, total reliance upon Christ, remaining steadfast in the faith. But before we get off in the weeds, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4, and we're going to start in verse 7. Kind of an odd place to start, I know. But I don't have enough time to flesh all this out. We're 10:18, so if I want to do your class in, like Brother Dan said, I got to get you out early. I don't know if that's going to happen, though. Verse 7, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. Read with me. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. The end of all things is at hand. If you were here for the first service today, Brother Paul did an unreal job. I mean, it's like I said, it's like drinking from a fire hydrant when he talks about the coming end of this church age, this hidden age in Scripture, in the Old Testament, that now we're living in, and we're redeemed people walking in this church together as the body of Christ. But the end of all things is at hand, as 1 Peter says. Be serious and watchful in your prayers. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. That's a really quick verse. You can memorize that. Pray without ceasing. You know what verse 16 says? Rejoice always. You can memorize that one too. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. We should be serious and watchful in our prayers. 1 Timothy 2:1, if you want to flip over there with me. Paul, he encourages us, he tells us about prayer. This is a constant theme through Scripture, constant theme. 1 Timothy 2:1, therefore I exhort, which means highly encourage you, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. You know, I told you through COVID, I'm laying on my back. Alan Moore, Debbie Blair, Cindy Blair, Jim Shaw, Brother Emmett, Dana Shaw, the Boyds, multiple people, that name too nameless to count. Stu Tully, a very close friend of mine. Several brothers and sisters in Christ reaching out to me constantly. Constantly, I'm praying for you. I'm lifting you up. I know it's tough right now. I know it's tough. Are you doing that for one another? Are we doing that for one another? Miss Lee, she just talked to me about what she's been going through. Surgery, husband passing. This is since July 15th. I have nothing to complain about. Miss Lee, I love you. Thank you for your encouragement to me. She's all the time telling me, I'm praying for you, I'm praying for you. Right now, it's our turn to pray for her. It's our turn. But you, be serious and watchful in your prayers. Verse 8, And above all things, have fervent love for one another. You know, this word fervent means to be strained or stretched. Have strained or stretched love for one another. Like, this is something we should be doing. This is a command. Have fervent love for one another. It's tough. Walking this Christian life, it's much easier when somebody's straining, striving with you, stretching themselves for you, bearing your burdens with you. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Verse 9. Romans chapter 12. Romans is one of the greatest books in all of the Bible. Theologically speaking, it's like drinking the ocean. I love it. I love it so much. Flip over to Romans chapter 12 with me, if you can. Let's read this together. Romans chapter 12, verses 10 through 13. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in the Spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. There's that prayer word again, steadfastly in prayer. Remember 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7, be serious and watchful in your prayers. Continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. This is us helping and encouraging one another. This is us as the body of Christ, bearing one another's burdens, walking beside one another, shouldering the load with one another. This is what we're here for. When you're down, I'm going to pick you up. When I'm down, you're going to pick me up. When Brother Paul has cancer, Brother Dan's coming in. Was that not amazing? I was here for that. I saw that take place. Brother Paul has cancer, and all of a sudden we're getting another pastor. Brother Dan just, isn't that amazing how God works? Amazing. Verse 10, 1 Peter chapter 4, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. This is a reference to spiritual gifts. I want you to read this with me one more time. As each one has received a gift, not did you or if you have, when you were saved by the impartation of the Holy Spirit, you received a gift. You received a gift, and it wasn't a gift for the outside world. It was a gift for the church body that you serve in. Do you know what your gift is? Have you guys done a study, an exhaustive study? Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That's where you find spiritual gifts. You can do a study over spiritual gifts. Matter of fact, quick testimony time. Brother Dan, last year, right before COVID hit, was doing the Shape series. Do you guys remember that if you were here? It was January, February, March, something like that, before the world went absolutely nuts and lost its collective mind. And before you were going to get a needle, we were doing the Shape series. And the Shape series was over spiritual gifts. And I'm just going to tell you, 10 years ago, I was sitting somewhere right over here. Brother Paul's preaching. I'm a 26, 27-year-old man. I know what God has called me to do. You know, when I was in second grade, the music teacher said, what do you want to do when you grow up? She's going through the class, and of course, me being me, I'm like, I'm going to be a preacher. She's like, try something else. I was like, how about a fireman? Well, here you go. Here you go. She's like, that's better. Yeah. So, you know, Brother Dan's kind of giving that testimony. When you're called, you're called. When you're called, you're called. You can't help it. You can't run from it. But fast forward to being a 25, 26, 27-year-old man, newly married. I'm sitting right over here. I know what I'm called to do. You know, I'm having these conversations with people. Brother Paul's preaching one day, and I'm going to tell you what the sermon he was preaching, and he may be able to correct me. It's called Was It Worth It? Was It Worth It? If you've heard that sermon, it's amazing. Hebrews chapter 11 is what he talks about. Was it worth it? When the saints that ran before us, ran their race before us, look through the portals of heaven, which I'm not saying they can. He's just using analogous references. If they look down into time today and they look at the church and the condition of her today, will they say it was worth the race that I ran to deliver to them the faith that they now are exercising? Or will they look at us in our filthy rags like the Laodicean church that Brother Paul referenced out of Revelation? The one that thinks she's rich but is actually naked. The one that thinks she is fully equipped but she's totally destitute. Well, they look down from heaven and say it was worth it. And you know, that sermon he was preaching that day, it just struck me so deeply. And I knew I was called to preach, and I didn't do it. So I walked through about 5, 6, 7 years of just absolutely no communication between here and heaven. You know why? Disobedience. 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 I was not living in God's will. And then one day I was like, okay, Lord, I'm tired of this. I'm tired of praying and my prayers hitting off the ceiling, bouncing right back down. And God started to get a hold of me. I started repenting. I started repenting, and he started working on me. And then last year, of all things, Brother Dan's preaching the Shape series. And the very first message he was preaching, I felt like my chair was on fire right over here. This was my second opportunity. I'm right over here. I felt like my pants were on fire. He used a word. He used like a little phrase. There's nothing special about it. He said, if you have this gift and you're not using it, guess what? It's sin. If you're a Christian, you have a spiritual gift that you're not exercising in this body today, I do believe it's sinful. You have a gift. You do have a gift. Because God gives that to us to minister to his body. Just like praying for one another, just like coming alongside one another, bearing one another's burdens, as you have a gift, minister it to one another. Minister it to one another. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. I'm going to point you to Romans chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You can do the Shape test online. Find out what your spiritual gift is. We desperately need help throughout the church. If you're coming and you're just imbibing this message that you hear throughout the week and you're fellowshipping with one another, hey, great, great. Let's get to work. Let's get to work. When the outside world walks in here, they should say there's something different about Fairview Baptist Church. They should say that, right? Amen. Amen. They should. They should see us striving together in the faith. They should see us working and building one another up. And they should see us busy about our Father's business. Now, I want to tell you something. There's one thing about spiritual gifts. Some people will say, well, I don't have the spiritual gift of being an evangelist. Guess what? Yes, you do. Yes, you do. We're all evangelists. We're all evangelists. We should all be outside witnessing. That's the Great Commission. We're all empowered to do that. All you got to do is give them God's word, not your opinion. Give them God's word. Tell people, who are you contending for today that's lost? Who are you praying for today that's lost in your life that you have direct contact with that you can say, Lord, I want to stand in the gap and intercede for this person. Please, Father, save them and use me to do it. Who are you doing that for today? This is not like a browbeat you time. This is not a bully pulpit, because I tell you, I haven't done it like I should. But thanks be to God, through his work that he does through us, I'm seeing fruit from that labor. I'm seeing fruit from it. I'm seeing fruit from that. Verse 11, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. That's sweet doxology. To whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's go back to verse up at the top of verse 11. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. Okay. So oracles, I looked up the definition of it. The utterances of God through Christian teachers, the substance of Christian doctrine. I'm going to tell you something. There's not a dirtier word today in the church than the word doctrine. People don't like that word. People don't like it. Brothers and sisters, that's what we have right here. This is what we stand on, nothing else. This is the firm foundation of our faith, God's word. He said it. That does it. You know, doctrine just means teaching and instruction. It's not so dirty. You give your children doctrine when they're growing up. And if they don't like the doctrine, you give them a paddle. I've done that too. We get a little bit of that as Christians. We get a little bit of that. You know, I'm going to give you a quick picture story. Have a young man, on my crew right now. Hey, he's probably 23, 24, 25. Just a new father. Baby's about a year old. He's wanting another one. They're wanting another one. And God's doing his work on him. We were talking last week. And he says, Major, you know, I love God's word, I love God. I'm a Christian. I said, you are, huh? He said, yeah, I am. And there's not the evidence in his life. And, you know, instead of me using this as like an axe and being like, hit you across the head with it, I took the soft approach because I believe I don't have any gift that I haven't received already. Nothing is from me. It's all from him. And so I said, hey, I want to explain something to you. You know, when you're a fireman, what happens? He goes, well, you get hired, you go to rookie school. I said, yeah, and what's the first book they give you? He said, The Essentials of Firefighting. As a fireman, if you were a fireman in here, there's a book that IFSTA releases. It's called The Essentials of Firefighting. It's like the Bible for being a fireman. If you haven't read it, you don't know how to do the job. Everybody reads it when they get into rookie school. It's this thick. You go through it for months. You go through the chapters. You test. You have to show proficiency and skills. And I told them, I said, hey, what if I were to give you all the gear? You have all your bunker gear. You got your SCBA. You got your mask. Got even a radio and a nice little flashlight. Cool helmet. I said, we could dress you up, but you've never been through the Essentials book. You don't know what it says. I said, you'd look the part, but you'd have none of the knowledge. You'd have no idea what you were doing when we were actually in the real deal, when it was going down, right? He was like, I see what you're saying. I said, you catch my drift. I said, you love God. You tell me you love God. You tell me you're a Christian. But you say, I haven't read the Bible. I don't know what his word says. You know, I think that's the one thing that Christians in our day and age sorely miss. We have no discernment because we're never in his word. We have no discernment because we're never mining Scripture for the fullness and richness of it to instruct us in righteousness. We're not in His Word. And if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. Let him teach God's Word. Let him teach God's truth. You know, we're so blessed to have pastors that literally on Wednesday nights, going through God's Word. Up here, going through God's Word, teaching us to be discerning. Brother Paul, when I was laying on my backside in my bed, I could do nothing but pray and I could watch the sermons. Brother Paul preached a lesson over discernment. So desperately needed in this age of Christianity. We've lost our minds at some points. I look at Christians and I'm like, where'd you get that from? Because you didn't get it from God's Word. When I see the heresies that are rampant in the church today, I wish we could get into 2 Peter that talks about false teachers. The NAR movement, the New Apostolic Reformation, is talking about fivefold ministry for you. And I'm going to tell you something, guys. That's continuationism. That's a $5 word for the people walking around thinking, I can lay hands on people, heal them, I can talk in tongues, I can jibber jabber. You know what? Those were sign gifts given to the apostles. They're no longer given to us. I'm not saying that in rare circumstances they couldn't be exercised by an almighty, powerful God who belongs all glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. But I'm not saying that those things couldn't be used just very supernaturally and in very distinct circumstances. But I'm saying they were given to the apostles, and they're no longer imparted to us as Christians. We don't need them. We have God's word. He's spoken. It's right here. Those were to verify the messengers in the New Testament times. Before we had Scripture in the church, we had apostles, and they were speaking, and they could provide proof by, look at this. And it wasn't to magnify their name. It was to glorify Jesus and confirm their apostleship. But we have people running around today and they're claiming this ministry, this apostolic ministry, this prophetic ministry. When you hear that, you need to run. You need to turn them off. And if you meet them, you need to do like Paul does to Peter when Peter goes wading off in the reeds with the Judaizers. You need to withstand them to their face. Don't back down. You stand on God's word. Do it lovingly, but withstand them to their face. And I've done it. It's not fun. I say, hey, don't teach that heresy around here. And we, as a church, need to be watchful if any of those wolves, that's what Jesus calls them, wolves in Matthew 7:15, if they try to sneak into this congregation and get their little furry fake sheep heads in here. No, don't let them do it. Don't let them do it. Thankfully, we have some watchdogs over here. We have some sheep dogs. I know a lot of sheep dogs throughout here. Stand on guard with one another. Stand on guard with one another. Now here we are. Verse 12, and I got 10 minutes left. We're not going to get all the way through it. Beloved, do not think it strange. This is really where I was trying to get. Do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part he is blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified. Let none of you suffer as a murderer, thief, evildoer, busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter, for the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful Creator. You know, verse 12, the fiery trial. 2 Timothy 3:12. I'm going to flip over there. Paul says to Timothy, but all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Not may, will. You know, if you're contending for Christ, as Adrian Rogers said, if heaven opens up its doors to bless you, hell is going to open up its windows to blast you. When we get busy for God, the devil's going to get busy after us. There's going to be highs and lows. Jesus will walk through every valley with you. He will be there with you. He will be there with you. I'm going to tell you something. If my son the other day would have died, he'd still be on the throne. He'd still be my king. It would just be much harder right now. I would need you much more. I would need your prayers much more. We need to be surrounding one another, serious and watchful in our prayers, surrounding one another and bathing ourselves in each other in prayer. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Remember that. Don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. All who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. All who live godly. Brothers and sisters, are we living godly today? You know, we are very fortunate, and Brother Paul said it, Brother Dan said it, we lived in this Advent where it's okay to be a Christian. That may be quickly coming to a close. We may be around in the corner where it's not so popular to be a Christian. It's a little bit tougher. You know, I think it's funny after COVID how the face of our congregation, many of you that have been here for a while know it's changed. Like, there's people you've never seen before. And there's people that were here for so long with us, and they're just gone, right? They're gone. I don't know what happened to them. And I'm not saying that I know anything about them. I'm just saying that, you know, the seemingly nominal Christians, I like to call them chinos, kind of like Rhino Republicans, Christians in name only, the ones that were like, hey, I got a tea time on Sunday, so I can't make it, and it's time to fish, so I'll be at the lake all summer long, and then I'll be back in the fall until deer season starts, and then I'll be there, but then there's the Super Bowl, so I'm going to miss for that. There's, you know, we know that person. We know that person. We need to pray for that person, first of all. But those people, they've kind of disappeared. The people that are serious about their faith, they're here. And they're here constantly and consistently. Guess what? We shouldn't just be here. We should be striving together, working together, using your spiritual gift for the glory of God, for the glory and exaltation of his name, his church, his body. 10:39, I got 6 minutes. Probably not gonna crush this one out of the park or anything. Verse 13, rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings. Rejoice that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. You know, do you know how you rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings? Well, you follow him. If we're following our Lord, we're going to partake of his sufferings. You know what following him is? It's obedience and submission to his will. I look at Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Lord, if there be any other way, make this cup pass from me. There was no other way. He did exactly what the Father intended. To the point of death. To the point of death. To the point of absolute wrath and fury of God being poured out on him. We don't have to worry about enduring that wrath. We're covered and robed in his righteousness. We're covered by his grace. But it doesn't mean that things aren't going to get tough. cancer, it's going to happen, loss of loved ones. You think your son may have just got killed right in front of your eyes. You see your wife down in the bed with pretty sick, worried about your baby. Multitude of things that we could talk about. Every one of you have endured trials. Every one of you have endured this tough life. We have a king in heaven. He sits at the right hand of the throne on high, interceding for you and I, interceding for us. That's Romans chapter 8, one of the greatest chapters for a Christian in all of the Bible. Romans chapter 8, Hebrews chapter 11. He's interceding for us today. And it's going to be tough. But we will be victorious if we follow Him. If we're obedient. If we continue and persevere. Guess what? Guess who holds our faith? He does. Ephesians 2:10. We're His workmanship, created unto Him for good works. He's the one that will hold your faith. He's the one that's going to sustain you in the difficult hour. Give Him the glory. Give Him the glory. You know, I want to skip ahead. We can't go through all of this real quick, but go to verse 5. Chapter 5, verse 5 of chapter 5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. Clothed with humility. You know, I wish I could go into Zechariah chapter 3. I was thinking about it last night. Clothed with humility. You know, when we become Christians, just like what my friend called and told me the other day, I didn't feel worthy. I've been so hard-headed. And he was just expressing to me grace being applied to his life. Grace being applied to the life of a sinner. When you and I came to Christ, we were clothed in His righteousness. Our filthy rags, His righteousness. Zechariah chapter 3, we see Joshua the high priest. He's standing there. Now, I don't want to allegorically use this in the wrong context, but I'm going to say it's a really good picture of salvation. Joshua the high priest standing there, Zechariah the prophet standing to the side. He sees the Lord and he sees the angel of the Lord, the pre-incarnate Christ standing there. And Satan the accuser is right there next to Joshua the high priest accusing him. And you know what the angel of the Lord says? Clothe him with new clothes. He was wearing filthy rags, tatters. He says, clothe him with new clothes. You know what Zechariah the high priest says? He said, put a turban on his head. You know what that turban was? For you as a spiritual people or chosen race or royal priesthood, that turban that they placed on the head of the high priest said, holiness to the Lord. Holiness to the Lord. You and I should be holy in front of Him. If we're obedient, submitting to His will in our lives, if we're doing what He says to do, using the gifts that He's given us, that's my prayer. Is that I'll be able to be presented holy and blameless in front of Him. Are you holy and blameless in front of Him today? I know that we're all going to sin. We're all going to fail. We're all going to falter. We're all going to take our eyes off of Him. Cry out to Him, Lord. He'll save you. He'll clean you right back up. That's sanctification. It's a process throughout our lives. It will be going on until the day He calls us home when He's done with us. But that clean turban put on our head that says holiness unto the Lord, holiness unto Him. Verse 6, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. In due time exalt you. I can't read Isaiah. If you're taking notes, write Isaiah 57:15 down. Isaiah 57:15, He's talking about humbling us. And those of a contrite spirit, those are the ones that He wants. He doesn't want these people up here beating their chest. Look at my ministry. Look what I'm doing. Look at who I am. No, He wants you and I bearing one another's burdens. Who gets the glory? He does. Jesus does. The name above every name. That's right. Amen. Be sober. It literally, in this context, means don't be drunk. Don't be drunk. Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We all know that, right? Do we know verse 7 in front of it? Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Casting every burden upon Him, Matthew 11:28. Take my yoke upon you. If you're carrying a burden, He wants to give you His burden. Drop your burden, He'll carry that. Take His yoke upon you, for He's gentle and lowly in spirit. Learn from Him, because that's who we should be following. I'm out of time. I know. Oh, Miss Lucy. She's getting me. Learn from him. He's gentle and lowly in spirit. Gentle. We should be clothed with humility, just like our Savior. Obedient to the point of death. Obedient no matter the cost. No matter what happens in this life, follow him. It's well worth it. It's well worth it. No matter what happens. No matter what happens. Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. We do have an adversary, the devil. I love what verse 9 says. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Have you seen what's going on in Nigeria and China, all around the world? Our Christian brothers and sisters losing their life, being put in concentration camps, locked away in North Korea, boldly sharing the witness of Christ, boldly following him no matter what. And we're in comfort, relative comfort today, but guess what? It may be coming for us. This is why today, the end of all things is at hand. Be serious and watchful in your prayers. Have fervent love for one another. We need to draw together. We need to surround one another. Bathe each other in prayer. Bear one another's burdens. Walk with one another. Exercise the gifts of the Spirit imparted to you and I, because we may look around in a few months and guess what? We may be all we have. We may be all we have. But I promise you, we'll radiate His glory. Radiate His glory. Are you praying for and loving one another? What is your spiritual gift? How are you using it to minister to one another? Trials are a part of the Christian life. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Resist the devil. Resist him. Knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brothers in the world. I love you. Thank you for letting me speak to you today.